Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. I'm Allison Klein. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Prayson Pate, CTO Ensemble at ADVA Optical Networking. Welcome, Prayson.
Thanks, Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So excited to talk to you. I'd love to hear a little bit about ADVA Optical Networking and the role that you guys play within the networking ecosystem.
Well, ADVA Optical has a very broad portfolio ranging from optical transport to carrier Ethernet to sync and timing solutions, as well as virtualization solutions now. And that's where my division, Ensemble, comes in. ADVA acquired my company, Overture, back in January, and since then has been putting additional resources and focus on how we can drive these virtualization solutions into the network and serve our customers and help them make this transition into cloud-based technologies.
Now, virtualized networking spans a tremendous number of use cases. Can you tell me a little bit about where you guys are most exclusively focused?
Well, we're going where our customers tell us, and the hot use cases right now are first virtual CPE, replacing stacks of appliances at the customer site or in a more centralized location with virtualized functions that can run in a variety of places. That has a very simple business case, a very positive business case, enables dynamic services, and is easy to get started on. So that's the single hottest one. Very close behind that, though, is SD-WAN, and we're seeing a lot of interest in that because enterprises are looking at SD-WAN as a way to lower their costs, so operators are looking at how they can roll out SD-WAN to support their customers.
When we look at SD-WAN, can you tell me a little bit about what types of customers are using that technology and where does it fit a particular need within their network continuum?
SD-WAN is software-defined WAN, and it includes a variety of features, but the big benefit is it lets customers leverage low-cost broadband access to build virtual private networks. Now, that's a little bit of a threat for the operators because that's their bread and butter, supplying VPNs to enterprise customers. But enterprise customers take a look at what they are paying for those operator-managed VPNs typically delivered with MPLS, and they see that they can get much cheaper connectivity going with consumer-class broadband. And SD-WAN gives them a way to construct virtual private networks over those broadband connections, potentially saving a lot of money.
What else can customers do once they move to a software-defined model?
They get a number of other benefits, such as agility. With software-defined WAN comes the ability to centrally manage the network and the policies that are applied. And that's one of the most powerful things, so that a enterprise, for example, can make sure that they are using their bandwidth for their mission-critical applications and not for people watching cat videos or something. The other thing they can do is prioritize which traffic goes, say, over a existing VPN connection and which goes over a broadband connection. And that's another aspect that's interesting about SD-WAN is that they don't have to go strictly to broadband. They can use a feature called hybrid WAN, which lets them split traffic between a traditional operator-managed VPN and consumer-grade broadband access and steer traffic based on policies. So the agility that they get from the central control of the networking, as well as the ability to do fine-grained application-level control of what's using that bandwidth, those are the big benefits for end users.
Now, I've heard you guys talking about SD-WAN 2.0. Tell me a little bit about that.
First of all, today, SD-WAN is typically implemented as a monolithic application that could either be sitting in an appliance or as a monolithic piece of software. So you go and you look at different SD-WAN suppliers and pick the one that has the laundry list of features that best matches what you want. But if that's not quite what you need, you don't really have a choice to add or subtract features. So that is one drawback. A second is the fact that the user has to manage the network. Now, I mentioned that being able to control application-level policy is a very positive aspect, but the drawback is if you are an IT manager for a Fortune 500 company and you're dealing with half a dozen broadband suppliers all around the world, when you have a problem, you don't know where the problem is. You don't know who to call. So when we talk about SD-WAN 2.0, we're saying the natural evolution of SD-WAN to adhere more to the principles of SDN and NFV. So moving from a monolithic application, perhaps running on an appliance, to a piece of software, disaggregating the functions so that you can assemble them as needed, and then working with operators. And another aspect of that last piece is that today's SD-WAN is typically done as an overlay. That is, you're building a network across operator transport. In many cases, the customers want to peer with their existing VPNs, and that means being able to be a BGP peer to the MPLS network. So we also see SD-WAN evolving to support not only overlay models, but peering models. So you have the ability to construct services that are ideally fit to the customer that can be managed operationally by the operator, still providing the level of control to the end user.
Well, thank you so much, Prason, for being on the phone today with us. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Can't wait to hear more.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Allison.